The House Committee on Education will come to order. Thank you all for coming at noon. The bad news is you're here an hour early. The good news is you'll probably get out 2 hours early. So
it's a two for one deal.
We have a few fiscal impact statements back. So what I'd like to do is move through those first, and then I have to propose to all of you a couple of rule suspensions. We're still kind of backed up on bills waiting for fiscal impact statements, and to the degree that we can start clearing things, we won't need to come back on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll be able to take care of everything on Monday that we have left. So I would like to open a work session on House Bill 3116. Kevin.
Members of the committee, Chair Gelso, you recall that this is a bill that came before us on the 6th dealing with bonding and incurring indebtedness and provides that if bonded indebtedness is to the benefit of a community college district, all district voters residing within the boundaries of the districts are entitled to vote. Provides that if bonded indebtedness is for the benefit of a specific service area, however, it changes the rule. It provides that only community college districts voters residing within the boundaries of that service area are entitled to vote. I think the testimony, if I recall correctly, focused on two particular community colleges who were having some troubles, whose districts were a little broader, Rogue Community College and also Blue Mountain Community College. We do have both the fiscal and the revenue back from fiscal and revenue, and that's where we're at.
All right. Representative Dimbrough, I would take a motion.
Yes, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 3116 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
So Representative Dimbrough moves that House Bill 3116 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. In terms of discussion, I wonder if, now that we've made the motion, are we stuck in the motion? It has no revenue impact. I wonder if we could expedite this for the communities, if we could get the revenue, the referral to revenue rescinded.
Chair Gelser, we would need... candidly, I had not considered that. We need a letter from the Speaker's office to do that, and we would actually need the letter and authorization from the Speaker before we could actually move forward and revoke or withdraw or send the revenue reference referral.
Representative Dimbrough, would you have any interest in withdrawing your motion?
I would be happy to. Madam Chair, I move to withdraw the prior motion.
So Representative Dimbrough moves to withdraw the prior motion. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the withdrawal is effective.
And
I am going to hold over the work session on House Bill 3116. And do you think we could get a letter right now?
I don't know the answer to that. We can call up to the Speaker.
That's,
and my big concern right now.
Okay. Let's hold it over till Monday. We can just gavel it in and out on Monday and we'll be good. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, great. So I am holding over the work session on House Bill 3116 until Monday, closing the work session on House Bill 3116. Opening a work session on House Bill 3118. We do have our fiscal and revenue statements back. This is the bill that Representative Greenlick brought to us last week regarding athletic hires and athletic departments. We also have the amendment back that came at the request of the committee. So if it is the committee's pleasure, the bill is ready to be moved to the floor. And the amendment has the word qualified entered into it, and it expands it to all coaches and athletic directors as per the request of all of you.
This is dash one. Would you like a motion?
Would you like to make the motion?
I'd love to.
That would be great.
I move that we adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 3118, and they are dated
4/2009. Representative Parker moves to adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 3118, dated 4/2009. Is there any discussion? No. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Is there another motion on the bill?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3118 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbro moves House Bill 3118 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? No, seeing none. Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 3118 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I believe that Representative Greenlick would like to carry this bill.
We'll mark, for purposes of voting, Representative Maurer is excused.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We're just trucking along here. And I will close the... Did I say Representative Greenlick to carry?
Yes.
Okay. So closing the work session on House Bill 3118, opening a work session on House Joint Memorial 15. Colleagues, this is the bill that we heard about last week. The amendment that was requested is attached as the dash one, and it deletes the word college and introduce and substitutes it with the word post-secondary. We do have our fiscal and revenue impact, and so this bill is ready to be amended and sent to the floor if that is the pleasure of the committee. Which number again? Representative Parker.
HJM 15.
Thank you.
I haven't seen the dash one amendment. Maybe it's in here.
It's in your pile.
Yet. Is there any other verbiage changed in that amendment?
No.
It does it twice, though.
Very good. It's thorough. This is...
HJM 15.
Yes, what you and I had talked about, and college has been changed to...
Post-secondary,
which was one of the issues, and then there was something about the essential value or indispensable value of education, something like college education being blah, 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 and you had raised the issue of toning that down. Are you comfortable with where we are now in this amendment?
Well, could I move the amendment?
Would that be okay if we move the amendment and then discuss the amendment once it's moved?
Of course.
Representative Dimbro.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendment to House Joint Memorial 15, dated 4/20/09.
Representative Dimbro moves the dash one amendment to House Joint Memorial 15, dated 4/20/09. Is there any discussion?
On the amendment?
On the amendment.
Madam Chair, it addresses one issue. It doesn't address the second issue, which is the overemphasis on a post-secondary education as the only means to success in this society. And so, I would support the amendment, but I think there needs to be an additional. But that's okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to oppose the amendment.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Is there a motion on the memorial?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Dimbro.
I move House Joint Memorial 15 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
So Representative Dimbro moves HJM 15 as amended to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Thatcher.
This sounds really good, and it's really tough to be saying I'm going to be opposing this because it's not a huge deal. It's a joint memorial to the Congress saying, yeah, pay for everybody's college. But I don't feel comfortable with it simply because I just feel like there has to be a little bit of investment from the person. There has to be something. And this is setting up an entitlement that, gosh, I think we have too many set up already. And so I will be a no.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Is there a further discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair. I did just like to say, just recalling the initial testimony on this and our conversation, you know, I think we live in a world where post-secondary education is vital to everyone and is a social necessity, essentially. And so in the same way that we have free K-12 education, I think it's important for us to be moving towards if not totally free, at least highly, highly affordable post-secondary education as well.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Norman?
Well, I think the reality is that if there aren't going to be 100%, there is not going to be 100% participation by the young people in our society, that it will be free for, I've been rushing for lunch, so I'm, my brain is not working well, or it's my mouth. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it's not something that's going to affect 100% of people who might be eligible to go, but it would affect those kids who would go on to higher to post-secondary education.
Thank you. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supporting the memorial. Hesitate and say maybe slightly reluctantly. I think we need to be careful in this, the message that we send to folks, and I think it's been touched on here, a couple of the messages, which first of all is the entitlement piece. I know when I went to college when I was 18, I was less than a stellar student, and when I went to college when I was 40, I was footing the bill and working hard, and there was just some different dynamics there, and I think there's value in earning an education. I truly do. So I think we want to be careful of a couple of those messages there.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Just on the record, the language I was particularly interested in is line 8, whereas the 21st century of college education is a prerequisite for effective labor force participation. Mm-hmm. I would prefer desirable. And so I will be a no because it gets back to the free issue. I mean, at some point you need to learn to pull your weight, and I know it's only a memorial. But I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Kahn?
Aye.
Representative Power?
No.
Representative Rogan?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
And Chair Gilder?
Aye. Having received the required majority, the bill moves to the floor. I think Representative Buckley will carry this bill because it is his, and the work session on HJM 15 is closed. Next, I would open, Chair?
Yes. Could I ask for rule suspension for the purposes of allowing Representative Maurer to vote?
Yes, please.
I'm asking for it.
I'm just so trained from my children.
Well, thank you.
I think.
Representative. Wow, my brain.
Yep. It's that fast lunch.
Yeah. Representative Springer moves that the rules be suspended so that Representative Maurer can vote on House Bill 3116.
18. It's 3116, I think, is where we're at right now. The first bill that was up today. 3118, we haven't called in.
Oh. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, yes, no. 3118.
Eight. Yes,
eight. Mm-hmm. Eight. Oh, can the rules please...
No.
Representative Springer
requests the rules. The motion on the table right now is to suspend the rules to allow Representative Maurer to vote on House Bill 3116. We have not had 3118 called yet. No. That's the Rooney bill. 3116 was the districts. So that's, you were marked as excused. So the motion is.
We didn't move 3116.
We didn't move.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh,
right.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It's 18.
You're right.
It's the Rooney bill.
Never mind. I'm sorry.
You're sure, then I'm sure.
I'm sure that it was the
Rooney
bill.
Because we're asking for a letter from the Speaker's office.
Yes, yes.
I need coffee.
Madam Chair, I am supportive not only of the amendments, but really actually very supportive of the amendment and very supportive of the bill, and my vote is a yes if I would be allowed to do so.
We find a way to allow, have we done what we need to do?
We have to suspend the rules.
Can we, Representative Springer moves that the rules be suspended.
You're right. I don't want Representative Huffman smacking me here in a few minutes, and so I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. You are on the right track, and it is 3118, and I'm going to sit back and move away.
Pretty soon they're going to suspend all of us.
Madam Chair, this is painful. But then we can pass.
colleagues, Representative Springer requests that the rules be suspended and Representative Maurer be allowed to vote on House Bill 3118. Is there any objection? Any discussion? How do you vote?
See, we already know how he's going to vote, and I'm thinking of objecting, but I'm...
No, actually, Madam Chair, you just voted to suspend the rules. Yeah. Now we need...
Now you have to have
that.
Sorry.
Now you have to open it.
So now I reopen the work session on House Bill 3118. Representative Maurer, how do you vote?
I vote aye, and quite frankly, this is substantial. This is one of the bigger things we've done in this body. So, and it was an aye vote. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Will the record reflect that Representative Maurer voted yes on that bill?
You can close that.
Okay. I now close the work session on House Bill 3118.
I truly apologize, Madam Chair.
Work session is closed. I'm now going to open up a work session on House Bill 2508. House Bill 2508 is the graduate fee Happy Cat bill, and the we have in the packets the -1 amendments and the fiscal statement. Didn't we adopt the -1 amendment already?
Yes.
So the fiscal statement is in your packet, and the fiscal statement shows a cost in tuition and fees of $3.3 million in 2009-11 and $4.3 million in 2011-13. And it says the Department of Higher Education anticipates a loss of revenue totaling $3,349,262 for the 2009-11 biennium, and assuming an annual tuition increase of 3% at current rates, and assuming additional students do not enroll who will qualify for the fee waiver, the amount waived in 2011-2013 would total $4,379,292. Representative Dimbrough.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2508 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
So Representative Dimbrough moves House Bill 2508 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there a discussion? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I recognize that statement to be probably true. However, I think that we have to remember that many of these graduate students, these payments and these fees come out of the grants and stuff that they are working with their major professors on. And so it isn't the same as general fund money, and I think it should go to Ways and Means to look at it. But I hope that people understand that oftentimes these graduate fellows and these graduate work assistants, these fees and other things that they're paying could have been written into the grant that they are getting and working on as they do that graduate work. And so the funds aren't necessarily coming from us. They're coming from the people that are doing the grants. Oftentimes they aren't, and they haven't been in our state because we haven't been charging, making the kids pay for it. So I think it's a good bill. I hope that it moves forward, and I hope that as we are participating in our grant funding that takes place from our major universities, which hire these graduate working assistants to do that work, that we recognize clearly the total cost that they're getting for these people, instead of having them find out later that the cheapest thing was the tuition they gave us, and then they put all these fees and stuff on top of it that made it very difficult for them to survive and do the work that a lot of people want to have done on these grants and research things. So that's my statement.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The biggest issue I saw surface in the testimony here was the clear communication on what students can reasonably expect to pay, and I'll support the bill, but I see the bigger concern there is that folks like Representative Parker spending a bunch of time on the internet while we were having the conversation and still struggling to find it. I really see the primary remedy here as a document, a contract. We sign them all the time, and those fees need to be disclosed in a better format, not just figure out a way to get them paid, but I think the schools need to step up and do a better job there.
Yes. If I could just follow up on that, I really appreciate that comment. And you know, this bill will go to Ways and Means and will, you know, have its history there. But, you know, I think that something that can be done, and I think probably will be done immediately, is taking care of some of those notification issues that Representative Springer raises. And that is one of those positive effects of a public hearing, actually. Things come out, and I think that's something that work can begin on really immediately if it hasn't already. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What they said, I was going to say that, but they did, but I wanted to go on the record saying that I agreed with what they said, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Debbie, would you please call? Representative Tucker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we all feel pretty similarly. I had raised the question way back when of what the costs were. There's no free lunch. Somebody had to absorb whatever costs we take off of the students' plate. The transparency and clear presentation up front of the fees is a big issue. I have the feeling that we all think this is going to go to Ways and Means to die. Maybe we don't all think that. Okay, if we were to all think that, it would be our job to not send it to them.
Correct.
Save our colleagues that effort. But obviously, I was wrong. We don't all think that. We'll just vote and see what happens. And see what happens. Okay, all right.
Representative Maurer.
Madam Chair, just a little bit of education for my colleague is last session that happened all the time, and because we were flush with money and I think the conversations weren't very open. This time they have been. They've been very open, and the chairs have addressed this whole cost issue a lot better than they did last time. But we were also a policy committee, and so we address issues at the policy level. And quite frankly, I'm not sure the fiscal issue has been fully vetted. And I think Representative Roblin's comments, I don't know how that impacts this. And so, I mean, from a policy perspective, it's one of these no-does. I mean, we should be doing this. And I do understand the financial situation, but I'm also not sure that we fully vetted the fiscal. And so, with that, I will be very supportive. Because I hope, in fact, we find out that the fiscal isn't very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good point. Thanks for the education.
And I think just on the issue of sending things to Ways and Means, the process has been very clear this time that Ways and Means is to be a deliberative destination for bills rather than a graveyard. And I think that in this committee, I can't think of a single bill that we've passed out of this committee with the expectation that we were passing it along so it could be killed or died someplace else. My understanding of and intention of the bills that we send out of this committee is that when we put our yes vote on them, we are saying to Ways and Means that we put a priority on them, that we think that they are worth taking a close look at as funds are allocated and prioritized, and that further vetting of whether the fiscals are accurate, whether there are places that there can be savings there, and how they balance up with the other choices that come to the Ways and Means Committee will happen there.
Madam Chair, I agree completely. I thought that this would be the first such bill if we were to take that action, and I was mistaken. I don't think we've done anything like that in the past, so let's go.
Right. Any further? Representative Comp.
The other thing I would chair committee, Chair Gelser has stated the way things are processing, the process and what we're looking at. In Ways and Means, it is really important for the committee to hear some of these issues that are incredibly important. We have the opportunity to look at the key performance measures of any fiscal entity in which that serves our state. And so if this level of transparency is very reasonable and wished by this committee, that's a great way to at least put that out on the table, whether we can look at the actual funding, but that's a debate to still happen. So there's lots of opportunity in sending this type of policy to the committee.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you. I like the fact that we have a physical, and I agree entirely that the conversation is happening. This physical is based on if they kept the same number. And they may have to choose to have fewer numbers and get the same amount of money and send it with fewer people. But at least the people who are going to get it are going to know the total amounts. And I think that that's an important deal, because I contend that if a number of the graduate fellows who are doing it knew what they found out when they got here, they would have taken another offer from another school that did include it. And so because of the lack of transparency and because of other things, and if we want to continue to have universities that have the best and brightest coming to our graduate programs, we'd better be on the same par as a whole lot of those other people who already pay these things. And if we don't set up this criteria and we keep paying low, we're not going to get those best and brightest. And So I think that Ways and Means can say this is all you're going to get, and they're going to have to make a decision, but I would hope that the policy still is there such that the people who are coming are going to get what they have. And so I think this can be adjusted by saying you're not going to get as many fellows, or you're going to have to bring the money in if you want to have the fellows.
Good
so.
Point.
Okay. Are any further discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Comp. Aye. Representative Mauer. Aye. Representative Roland. Aye. Representative Thatcher. Aye. Representative Van Orman. Aye. Vice Chair Sprinkle. Aye. Vice Chair Dimbrough. Aye. Chair Gilbert. Aye. Having received the required votes, the motion passes and the bill moves on to Ways and Means. So I am now closing the work session on House Bill 2508. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3093. We do not have our fiscal impact statement yet on House Bill 3093, so I'm going to hold House Bill 3093 over until our Monday hearing. I'm closing House Bill 3093. Opening a work session on House Bill 2949. We don't have our fiscal impact statement on House Bill 2949, so I'm holding House Bill 2949 over until Monday. Closing the work session on House Bill 2949. Opening a work session on House Bill 3117. We do not have our required fiscal statement on House Bill 3117, so I'm holding over till Monday.
I'll wait for the amendment. Did we do the dash?
We did. So I'm just going to hold. I'm holding this one over till Monday. And closing the work session on House Bill 3117. And opening a work session on House Bill 2944. We don't have our fiscal statement back yet on House Bill 2944, so we're holding that also over until Monday. Closing the work session on House Bill 2944. So the only ones that I did not just open and close are bills that, it's my understanding, have significant support in the committee and already have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on them. And at this point, given the backlog of bills that we have, I understand we are one of the last committees to entertain rule suspension to go ahead and move them without their fiscal statements. And again, I'm only asking you to do these today on the bills that already have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on them. Is that, are people comfortable with that? And do you have a, do you mind, and so let's do them one at a time.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purposes of voting on House Bill 2756 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
I'm just informed I have to gavel into the work session before a motion. Sorry about that.
Never mind. I withdraw the motion.
Thank you. I'm opening up a work session on House Bill 2756. And House Bill 2756 is the bill that established a scholarship program to reward foreign language proficiency and to encourage continued improvement in foreign language proficiency. And there are no amendments on the bill, are there?
Yes, there is.
There is. There is an amendment to the bill. And Representative Comp, can you talk a little bit about the amendments?
gosh, I'm not prepared. Kevin, could you refresh us about the amendment?
Chair Gelser, Representative Comp, members of the committee, the Dash 1 amendment provides that the language proficiency that's discussed in the matter itself must be in a natural human-based language. I think there was some testimony as the kind of languages that could come up and be subject to this. I'm not sure exactly what natural human-based languages are, or not, rather. And it's not defined in the bill itself. The amendment also requires the adoption of rules regarding the actual assessment method. That was another issue that had come up. So, and it kind of set some parameters with respect to that. That's the measure that's to be adopted.
Thank you. Is there a motion on the Dash 1 amendment?
Well, let's suspend the rules first.
We can do that before. Is there a motion on the Dash 1 amendment? Representative Cobb?
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment dated 3-27-09 be added to House Bill 2756.
Representative Comp moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2756, dated 3-27-09, be adopted. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
I have to ask, thank you, Madam Chair. I have to ask the question, where did this amendment come from? Why are we talking about natural human-based?
Because it was, these were a couple of the issues that were brought up when the committee first heard this bill. And I really don't remember the insert of natural human-based, but the part that I remember distinctly is the assessment piece. What does that look like? Looks like Representative Roblin remembers.
Representative Roblin.
I don't, but I have seen similar kinds of language in other cases that by doing that, you exclude computer languages as your second language of speaking. And if you don't put it, when somebody will come in and say, I have an advanced degree in COBOL or whatever, and they all of a sudden qualify for a scholarship, because it says that's one of the proficiencies that demonstrate proficiency in speaking, reading, and writing in a language other than English. That's one of the deals that you have to do. And so I'm thinking from previous experience that amendment takes out computer languages and other artificial languages as those that would qualify for that portion of this. Would be my guess.
Oh, thank you. Representative Maurer.
No, it expressly excludes computer-based languages, musical notation, and Esperanto.
That's right, Esperanto.
Esperanto was that UN-crafted language that was a melding of all the world's languages, so everyone should have a leg up in trying to learn it.
'60s and '70s. Okay.
Would you like me to speak it?
Probably not.
So where did they stick
it? I was going to wing it.
Air chair.
He's going to give a speech. It's Friday.
So where did that?
You got a committee. To does go anyone?
Adrian, we need to have some fun. We're going to get health care.
I share the curiosity about this
language. It's in that same line, though, so I'm thinking it's still what it's about.
It's perhaps clarifying. I would suggest, since we don't have time in our calendar to further understand what a natural human-based language might be, that even though I would be more comfortable if I understood what that meant, perhaps we could trust the Senate to take it out if there's a Martian language that we wish to include.
It could be horses.
Well, the only other one that I could say that has gotten to be a big one is, did you mention Klingon? There's a group on the internet that did speak Klingon, and that couldn't be the language that they didn't want to be extended. They wanted to make sure
it's not excluded.
Is there any further discussion on the substantive issues of this bill?
I would choose Klingon because that's one of the few I know.
Do any of our universities have a Klingon program?
That's what I'm thinking.
They might.
I guess, Madam Chair, in seriousness, it potentially could apply to American Sign Language. I'm not sure if that's...
But that's
human-based.
That's a natural human-based.
That one's
human-based.
That's
a natural...
Based.
Well, mm-hmm. Enough conjecture.
Is there any further discussion on the Dash 1 amendment?
I'm okay with that.
Seeing none, is there any objection to the Dash 1 amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Question is Springer.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2756 as amended without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Is So Representative Springer moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2756 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. And the motion is undebatable. So those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2756 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review will say aye, and those opposed, no. Debbie, aye. Would you call the roll, please?
Oh, you say it orally.
Oral?
Aye. Motion carries, and the rules have been suspended. So I would now take a motion on the amended bill to Ways and Means.
So moved.
Representative Comp moves House Bill 2756 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Parker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I spoke at length about my support for bilingual education and my firm belief that business of all sizes and sorts needs people who are multilingual, and my conviction that if Oregonians and other Americans who are monolinguistic don't learn other languages, they will be left out of many opportunities as we move forward. I have a concern about this bill, though, that only came up after I was rereading it and telling people about it. And I believe that I'm still wholly in support of its intent, and I believe I will vote in favor of this bill. But I believe also that it enables heritage speakers of other languages to qualify for these scholarships. This group also knows that I'm strongly in favor of providing all sorts of educational opportunities to people in this country of various backgrounds. But I don't think that the intention of this bill is to do that. And I've had some conversations with most of the authors of the bill, and they corroborate that that's not the intention of the bill. I think that the language can be tweaked some in subsequent workings. So I'm in favor of the bill in spite of that concern.
Thank you, Representative Parker. Chair. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Parker. If I might ask, are you referring to one and the staff summary on the non-citizen? But it's followed with legally. Mm. Or are you referring to something else totally?
I'm referring, we don't have to have formalities going back and forth.
No,
to say the representative. In the characteristics that define a qualified student, it appears to me that a French person in this country speaking pretty darn good French can qualify for this scholarship. And my understanding is that it's primarily focused on teaching people who only speak English to master and become fluent in other languages so that they can participate more actively in international business, international culture, and derive all of the benefits thereof for themselves, their communities, and their businesses.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Representative Roblin.
My only thing is that this is one of those, and it's one of the reasons I wonder why it's going to Ways and Means, but I like them to have the conversation again. This is only if OSEC has the money, and I think they'll go out and try to find other people to give them the money. And so, again, I don't think it really costs anything until we and Ways and Means and others decide to give OSEC money to do it, or outside organizations give them the money. But it at least sets up the idea that there are these scholarships that can be given out based on merit. And I think they will always be limited. They won't have enough to do for everybody. And I want to concur that I would hope that they would be given out in a way that because I'm a natural speaker of another language, that wasn't the qualifying characteristic that got there. So, and I think OSAC will do the right thing, so I feel comfortable about that. But the real issue is I really don't see how this is going to cost much money. So, but sending it to them to understand that this is something that they could fund to OSAC if they chose to is probably a good thing. And it probably won't be used this session, but as resources become available, I think it might be a good thing. So,
Commissioner Parker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did hear from two high school language teachers in the state. They're not my constituents, but they feel that the bill is a good one, and that weighs in on me. And also, I think, you know, we're doing dangling a carrot out there to attract people to study languages and get up there and receive some real financial benefit if the monies are available to help them keep going. So I hope that it will happen and that's the way it will unfold.
Thank you, Representative
Dimbrough. Madam Chair, just to address Representative Parker's concerns, you know, I think that there are many heritage speakers of other languages who are very fluent orally in the language, but who for whatever reason don't study the language and so don't have necessarily good reading or writing skills in the language. And this, I think, would encourage them to do so. And I know a number of people in that situation, you know, who were heritage speakers of a language and didn't really discover the study of the language until they went to college. And then they were able to take their natural fluency orally and really put it to work in literacy, which then allowed them to become, you know, very competitive in international business and other kinds of things where literacy is really key. So I think that's a good part of the bill. The other part of the bill that I think addresses that is it does require them, once they get to college, you know, they get their initial scholarship and then they're expected to be improving each year. And I think that's a very important piece that, again, deals with the heritage speakers.
Thank you, Representative Comp.
Just a final comment. If you remember our young little English speaker, Claire Blomberg, when she was here, she did start learning a second language very early. I mean, she's already a mature fourth grader. But the opportunity for her is what this bill speaks to, as an English native speaker to become proficient in one, two, or three languages, to go out and serve Oregon in a dynamic that we haven't had the opportunity in the past.
Okay, thank you very much. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Hutchins?
Aye.
Representative Kahn?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Yes.
Representative
Groveland? Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van
Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilger?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the motion is declared passed and the bill goes to Ways and Means. And I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2756. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2586. Colleagues, House Bill 2586 is the bill about the school libraries. We had some testimony a couple of weeks ago. We have the revenue impact. We do not have a fiscal impact, but this bill also already has on it a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It does not require amendment, and pending rule suspension, we could go ahead and move this bill on to the next step of its journey today.
Madam Chair?
Representative Springer.
I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2586 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
I have one.
Yeah. Fiscal impact?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know where I got it.
It was the 22nd. We must have gotten it Wednesday.
So 22nd.
My folder.
Okay.
I don't have it yet.
Madam Chair, may I withdraw my motion?
You may withdraw your motion. Could someone summarize what the fiscal impact statement says?
Madam Chair, the fiscal impact of this measure on ODE is minimal. ODE reports that it would require a minimal amount of existing staff time to review the additional component of the continuous improvement plans to provide technical assistance to school districts as they develop goals, implement strong 5A programs, and their continuous improvement plans.
So, colleagues, what is your pleasure? Should we move this bill onto Ways and Means today, or like the first one, shall we hold it over till Monday and get
a letter.
To Representative Kump, what's your pleasure?
We've got plenty of time to wait for the letter.
Are you okay if, since it has a minimal, we wait till Monday to get the letter and send
absolutely.
It to the floor instead of adding it to your docket?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to hold over the work session on House Bill 2586 until Monday, and we'll get a letter. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2586.
Committee, I apologize for not having that in your, or not realizing that wasn't in my file, so I apologize for the mistake.
All right. Now, opening a work session on House Bill 2012. Colleagues, House Bill 2012 is the school capital matching subaccount that the speaker came and spoke with us about. We do not have back the fiscal statements. We do not have any amendments that we need to adopt. And with a motion, we could go ahead and send this on to the Ways and Means Committee, as it already has a referral there.
Madam Chair.
Representative Springer.
I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2012 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Springer moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2012 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. This motion is undebatable. So is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and the rules have been suspended. Representative Dimbro.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2012 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Dimbro moves that House Bill 2012 be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the bill passes and is on its way to Ways and Means. To clarify again, and I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2012. And I am, you know which one that I didn't have on this list? I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2557. House Bill 2557, we discussed on Wednesday. We have already adopted the amendments. Is this correct?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have adopted the Dash 4 amendment.
And based on our discussion on Wednesday, it appeared to have the full support of the committee. This also has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And with a rule suspension, we could move the bill on to Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill
2557
without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Springer moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2557 as amended without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. And this motion is not debatable. Is there any discussion? Oh, there can't be discussion. It's not debatable. Is there any is there any objection?
We're
He's seen none. The motion passes.
We have to wait.
Never mind. I'm just wanting a review on the amendment. I'm trying to.
When we come to that point.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
But there's no objection on the suspending of the rules?
No.
Okay. Seeing no objection, the motion passes and the rules are suspended. And again, we adopted the Dash 4 on Wednesday. And I believe that this. Representative Dimbro, can you. Do you want to give us the quick review of that amendment that we adopted on Wednesday?
The review had, yes. Do you want me
we
to?
We caught up with it.
Thank you. It just moved too fast. I don't figure out where we were.
Sounds like we're good.
Yeah.
Is there any, I would accept a motion on that.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2557 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Denbrough moves that House Bill 2557 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Huffman.
Madam Chair, just a commendation to Representative Denbrough for the quickest explanation of Dash 4 that I have ever seen.
Well, I would say also the most cogent.
I think that's because you chose not to do it in a natural human baby.
That's true. It was just a grunt.
Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Kopp?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Hatcher?
Aye.
Representative Berman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Screamer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Denbrough?
Aye.
Aye. Having received the required votes, the motion passes and the bill moves on to the Ways and Means Committee. I wanted to also offer my thanks to Representative Huffman and Representative Denbrough. I know that an extraordinary amount of work went into this, and to all of the stakeholders who also spent many hours getting this into a workable format. It's nice to be able to see it move on, so thank you. Closing the work session on House Bill 2557. In review, we are carrying over to Monday House Bill 3093, House Bill 2949, House Bill 3117, House Bill 2944.
3116.
Mm-hmm.
And
2586. Are all of our bases covered? Seeing that they are, it is before 1 o'clock. I have met my promise to all of you in the Committee on Ways and... No, this is not the Ways and Means Committee. Yes, Representative
Roman. Did we all get a copy of the revenue impact statement? I think she was making... Did you make copies?
No, it was
the fiscal for 2586.
No, I gave you mine. Thank you.
Is there anything else for the good of the order?
Madam Chair.
Representative Huffman.
Just a curiosity question. I don't know if Representative Roblin was asked to implement this. Why are you looking at me like this may not be serious? Because this is a serious...
This is serious.
30% reduction rule on Friday candy. Because according to my calculations, that would not go into effect, and if in fact that he was asked to do that until the third Friday in May.
But we can I respond?
Yes, you may.
We have a very big concern in the House that people haven't really started to understand that we do have a budget deficit, and so we want to get the message out earlier. And so we will have it on that date, but we won't have it on this date, so that people start to recognize that the seriousness of our budget problems in the state of Oregon.
Preparation, and I can appreciate that, Representative. Thank you for the explanation, yep. Madam Chair. Thank you for the time.
Thank you for raising that important issue.
All the bills to Ways and Means.
I'm sorry that it's now after 1 o'clock, but the House Committee on Education is now adjourned.
That's mad. She could be.